Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily audio deep dive into the top stories from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and I am here with Mike.
Hey, everyone. And Sarah, I think we need a little round of applause today because this is episode 365. We have officially been doing this for a full year.
We actually made it. One full year of tracking the absolute wild ride that is the tech industry. Today, we are covering the top stories from yesterday, April 13th, 2026, and we have a fantastic lineup to celebrate our anniversary. We are talking about a massive supply chain attack on WordPress, GitHub finally bringing stacked PRs to the masses, Servo hitting a major milestone, and Apple's accidental AI moat.
But first, let us start with a story that absolutely blew my mind. It is a computer science paper titled All Elementary Functions from a Single Binary Operator. It got over 800 points on Hacker News yesterday.
This one is so elegant. So if you have ever studied digital logic, you know that you can build any computer circuit using just a single type of logic gate, like a NAND gate. It is the universal building block for Boolean logic, but we have never had an equivalent primitive for continuous mathematics. If you wanted to compute sine, cosine, square roots, or logarithms, you needed multiple distinct operations.
Right, until now. This researcher, Andre Otrzyzewak, found that a single binary operator, which he calls EML, along with the constant 1, can generate the entire standard repertoire of a scientific calculator. EML stands for exp minus log. The function is literally just the exponential of x minus the natural log of y.
And with just that one operation, you can derive pi, the imaginary unit I, addition, subtraction, multiplication, and all the transcendental functions. He found it through a systematic, exhaustive search. And what's really cool is that because every expression becomes a binary tree of identical nodes, you can use it for machine learning. He used standard optimizers like Atom to do gradient-based symbolic regression, recovering exact mathematical formulas from numerical data.
It is such a pure, beautiful discovery. And of course, in true Hacker News fashion, you go to the comment section expecting a deep theoretical debate, and the top comment with hundreds of upvotes is literally just the word, sorry.
I laughed so hard at that. It is like the collective realization of thousands of computer science students realizing their compilers and math libraries could have been implemented entirely differently. Or maybe just a profound apology to the universe for not finding this earlier.
Speaking of things we should be sorry for, let us move to our second story. Someone bought 30 WordPress plugins and planted a backdoor in all of them. This is a terrifying read from Austin Ginder at AnchorHost.
Terrifying is the right word. This is a masterclass in how supply chain attacks work in 2026. Here is the timeline. Back in 2015, a team in India built a legitimate business called Essential Plugin. They made over 30 free WordPress plugins with premium versions. Things like Countdown Timer Ultimate, Pop-Up Anything, totally mundane stuff. By late 2024, their revenue was dropping, so they listed the whole business on Flippa, the website marketplace.
Enter a buyer known only as Chris, who apparently has a background in SEO, crypto, and online gambling. Chris buys the portfolio for six figures in early 2025. And in August 2025, the new owner pushes an upgate. The changelog says it is just checking compatibility with a new WordPress version, but what it actually did was add a PHP deserialization backdoor.
But here's the crazy part. They did not activate it right away. The backdoor sat completely dormant for 8 months. Hundreds of thousands of sites updated their plugins and went about their business. Then, on April 5th of this year, the trap was sprung. The attacker server started feeding malicious payloads through that backdoor. It injected massive blocks of PHP into the WordPress config files of all these sites to serve hidden SEO spam to Googlebot.
And the infrastructure they used to control this was wild. The command and control domain was resolved through an Ethereum smart contract. So traditional domain takedowns would not work because the attacker could just update the blockchain to point to a new server. WordPress actually stepped in and permanently closed all 31 plugins in a single day, forcing a security update. But for many sites, the payload was already in their config files.
The Hacker News comments on this were super insightful, especially regarding the current state of cybersecurity. A user named Chromacity made a great point about how everyone is currently panicking about the new Mythos AI models writing zero-day exploits, but the reality is that the real threat is still just capitalism and crypto.
Why bother having an AI write a complex FreeBSD exploit when you can just buy a software dependency for $100,000 and push an update? Exactly. The economics of hacking have changed. Another commenter pointed out that we actually do know how to write bug-free software. We just choose not to because of the cost, which sparked this massive debate about whether bug-free software is even a real thing outside of spacecraft and medical devices. You had people arguing about Python versus Rust, and how even with memory-safe languages, logic bugs and social engineering will always exist.
It really highlights how fragile our web infrastructure is. If you run WordPress, definitely check your plugins.
All right, let us pivot to some good news for developers. GitHub just announced native support for stocked PRs. They are currently in private preview, but this has been a long time coming.
Yes. For anyone who has not used this workflow, stacked pull requests are a way to break up a massive, unreviewable code change into a series of small, focused pull requests that build on top of each other. Each PR targets the branch of the PR below it, forming a stack.
It is so much better for code review. Instead of handing your coworker a 10,000-line diff and saying, good luck, you give them a sequence of logical steps. GitHub is releasing a command line tool called ghstack to manage the local rebasing and branch creation, and they are updating the web UI to actually understand the stack end to end.
The comment section on this post was basically a nostalgia trip. The moment you mentioned stacked diffs on Hacker News, you summoned the ghosts of Fabricator and Mercurial.
Oh, absolutely. A user named Autumn W kicked it off saying that going back to Git and GitHub after using Fabricator feels like going back to the Stone Ages. And it is true. Companies like Meta and Google built their internal tooling around Mercurial and stacked diffs because Git just did not scale for their massive monorepos back in the day.
It evolved into this classic Hacker News debate about the cathedral versus the bazaar. Someone pointed out that they are glad Git won the version control war because it is fast and reliable, even if it is ugly, which led to a tangent about how Mercurial was written in Python and Git was a bunch of C binaries stitched together with shell scripts.
We even had people in the comments talking about rewriting Python tools in Rust and Go to get 50x speedups. It is funny how a post about a GitHub feature turns into a language performance war within 10 comments. But honestly, I'm just thrilled GitHub is finally building this in natively. It is going to save so much time.
Speaking of Rust, our next story is about Servo. The Servo project just released version 0.1.0 on crates.io.
For those who might not know, Servo is the web engine originally started by Mozilla, written entirely in Rust. It was designed to be highly parallel and secure. A while back, it transitioned to the Linux Foundation, and now they are pushing hard to make it a lightweight, high-performance alternative for embedding web technologies in applications.
This release is a big deal because it is their first official crates.io release, meaning Rust developers can easily pull it in as a library. They are also offering a long-term support version for embedders who want stability while the engine continues to evolve.
The comments on this one took a really interesting turn. Simon Willison chimed in and shared a tool he built using this new Servo crate. He called it a vibe-coded command line tool that renders an image of a web page.
I love that term, vibe coding. It is what people are calling the process of just letting an AI write the code for you while you guide the architecture and the vibes. Simon used an LLM to write the Rust code, and a commenter noticed that the AI preferred a very simplified, high-level Rust style. Lots of cloning, using standard strings, avoiding complex borrow-checker fights.
Which makes sense for an AI, right? But it sparked this massive debate about the future of software engineering. Someone said this should be the real benchmark for AI coding skills. Can we use AI to build safe, modern infrastructure like Servo that everyone wants but nobody wants to fund?
But then another user fired back saying, we do not need vibe-coded critical infrastructure. And that really gets to the heart of the current AI anxiety. If we use AI to write the foundational layers of our technology, who actually understands how it works when it breaks?
Right.
One commenter argued that AI is great for fuzz testing and finding edge cases, but if no human actually understands the data flow invariance of the web browser engine, we are setting ourselves up for disaster. It's the classic fast infrastructure versus slow infrastructure debate. I guess we will see which one burns down first.
That actually provides a perfect transition to our final story today. It is a piece titled Apple's Accidental Moat: How the AI Loser May End Up Winning.
So the premise here is fascinating. For the last couple of years, the narrative has been that Apple is completely behind on AI. OpenAI, Google, and Anthropic have been battling it out in the cloud with these massive frontier models. But this article argues that Apple has been quietly building a massive hardware moat by putting incredibly powerful unified memory silicon into every Mac, iPad, and iPhone.
And the Hacker News comments really validated this theory. We are living in 2026 now, and the landscape has shifted. A user named Amazing Amazing pointed out that local models like Gemma 4 are now good enough to rival what Gemini 2.5 Flash was doing just a little while ago. If you can run a highly capable model completely locally on your MacBook without paying a subscription or sending your data to the cloud, why would you use anything else for daily tasks?
Exactly. There is this concept of diminishing returns happening in the cloud AI space. One commenter mentioned they accidentally used Opus 4.6 instead of the latest model for a week and did not even notice. For 99% of daily tasks, like summarizing an email, writing a quick script, or turning on Shuffle in Spotify, you do not need a trillion parameter cloud model.
It reminds me of that old Bill Gates quote that gets misattributed, about 640K of RAM being enough for anybody. Someone in the comments brought that up, saying we are hitting a point where the local compute on an Apple device is the new 640K. It is enough for almost anybody's daily AI needs.
But there was some pushback. Users who do heavy software development or complex research noted that the difference between a local model and something like GPT 5.4 or Opus 4.6 is still night and day. The cloud models are much better at maintaining context over long periods and not hallucinating dates and facts.
True. But the gap is closing for the average consumer. If Apple can provide an agentic harness, meaning the AI can actually click buttons and control apps on your device locally and securely, that is game over for a lot of these paid cloud subscriptions. People do not want a chat box. They want an assistant that can actually do things on their computer, and Apple controls the operating system.
It is a brilliant strategy, even if it was accidental. They just kept making better chips, and now they are perfectly positioned for the edge AI revolution.
It really makes you wonder what the tech landscape will look like a year from now when we record episode 730.
I cannot even imagine. But whatever happens, we will be here to talk about it. That is all we have for today's episode of HN Pod. Thank you so much to everyone who has listened over the past year.
We really appreciate you all. If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend, and we will see you tomorrow for more of the top stories from Hacker News.